I'm going to call this, for lack of a better title, The Spirit of Laodicea, or The Spirit of the Laodicean, or really The Spirit of Lawlessness. And this is something that's been on my heart for some time. I'll be reading out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, also Matthew, chapter 7, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, if you care to follow along. One of the things that's puzzled me a little bit until I feel God dropped something in my heart about it was this matter that has to do with the dissidents that have been in our fellowship here and the different ones that have been attacking our church, and why we could not reason with different ones and bring truth and light to them, and why this thing seemed to be so overpowering, this matter of the attack upon God's church. And down through time, however, I believe that we've seen this pattern, and that is the pattern of lawlessness. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, if you care to turn there first, just share a few passages here. Matthew 7, 21 to verse 29. Here it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, what I would like to share here is this idea of Lord, Lord. We've heard this saying by some people that say, "I have received Christ as Savior," and after a period of time of months or years, then they say, "I received Him as Lord." And whether that's really accurate theologically or not, I really don't know. I don't know if you can receive Him as Savior, not as Lord. But the point I guess they're trying to arrive at is that they have accepted Him as Savior in their hearts, but they've not turned their lives over to Him so that they are obedient to Him as a slave is to a master. So they're now accepting Him as Lord. And so here we see Lord, Lord, it probably has an idea of a serf or vassal or a slave type relationship, Lord, Lord. Now this word in verse 23 that says, "Ye that work iniquity," is the Greek word anomion. The same Greek word we see in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, which talks about the lawless one. And in chapter 2, verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians, in the noun form, it's the lawless one. The article is there. And what we're seeing here is that, you see, these are servants of God, supposedly, because they're calling Him Lord, Lord. And there's a revelation here I feel that we need to see, or an understanding that we need to have about this passage of Scripture. You see, Christ in His parable, and through Matthew by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, terms this person lawless. It's not just iniquity, but it's lawlessness. He really is not Lord. And that's why that word fits perfectly there. They're saying unto Him, "Lord, Lord," but He's not really Lord. He's not really Lord. They're just saying that. They're just mouthing these things. And they're just doing things in the name of Jesus, but they don't have any real rapport with Him spiritually. And they're the ones that are building their houses upon the sand. And so we see the rain descending. Now, I believe spiritually we could take that and say this would be like the latter rain coming. And so the rain came down, the teaching, the doctrine, etc. And then what happened here? The floods came. We know that the floods speak of the waters of the nations, the kindreds, tongues, and nations. And the flood came, and it beat upon the house. And the winds blew. It's not just a light flood coming through. It says that it beat upon the house. There was a beating and a beating. And I believe it fits perfectly with this end time message that we're seeing around the world. There's a great storm coming. There's a great storm, a great wave of iniquity. There's a great lawlessness that is going to come up out of the kindreds and tongues and nations of the people, of people all over the world. And we're going to see great calamity. And we heard about that this morning. Now you see, here really in this proper relationship as Lord, Lord, Christ is the lawgiver. And that's what we're praying and singing tonight, about that intimate relationship of loving Him and making Him Lord and getting things straightened out this way and straightened out this way, vertically and horizontally. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it shows that Satan, in that position, is showing himself to actually be God. He's in a lofty, high position, showing himself to actually be something that he's not. I'll read that passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. It says, "Who opposeth him and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, if you go back to Genesis 3:1, we find out that the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field. And he's had this in his heart from Genesis, from the very beginning of the fall of God's creation. Satan has been exhibiting lawlessness. And I believe that is why this demonic spirit that has been energizing and pushing so hard to overturn this work of God and to bring disparaging reports and negative things is because this thing it has real power. And that power goes back to the very basic things of the fall of this creation. And that is Satan's disobedience to God. And then man's disobedience to God. It's the very root and the very core of why we're in the mess we're in today. Therefore, this spirit that's behind this thing isn't like a spirit of lust or a spirit of movies or something else or a spirit of unlove. This thing has real power. And that's why Pastor Don has said at times, it's so baffling to him, how you can talk to people, lay all the arguments out, they'll say yes, they appear to understand it, and yet that thing will not allow them to receive. It will not allow them to break through. And once it gets a grip on them, it drives, driving, driving, driving. And I've been a little concerned at times, if nothing else, in talking to some of these people, I said, listen, if you can't do anything else, then spend time, in your frame of thinking, it's really ridiculous, but why not go out and at least, if you want to fight this church and you disagree with all the things we're doing in terms of the eldership and the direction of the church government, why don't you go out and do what the Great Commission says to do, and that's win souls to Christ? Why spend time fighting us? But it's because the spirit is behind this thing, that is the spirit of Satan. And that thing has got power that's unbelievable. And I feel that answers to the question of why we're in the mess we're in. And see, I'm building to a point here. I'm going to take you into Revelation 3. Show you something there. Feel that God gave me. Now, in Genesis 3:14, God pronounced a curse upon Satan. And he cursed him and said, "To the dust of the earth and on your belly shall you go all of your days." So God judged him right then. And he put him down as low as you can get, and that is, even out of the spiritual realm, into the dust of the earth. And he's the one, same one, of course, that we know, in Isaiah 7 and Ezekiel 28, that Satan was up high and God brought him down low. And it said that he had beauty until iniquity. Same thing, that same lawlessness was found in him. And then God cast him out. So he was in that high spiritual realm, and then God had put him down to the dust of the earth. And so, according to the Word of God, the church shall tread upon serpents, and we shall bruise Satan under our feet shortly, the Word of God says. But not yet. We're still in warfare. And we have not subjected his kingdom yet, but we shall, according to the Word of God, by the power and the authority of God's Word. If we will remain under the governmental structure that God has ordained, so that when we say, "Lord, Lord," we really are saying, "Lord, Lord." Not just mouthing it. And not just saying something out of our own mind. Now, in Revelation 3:14, if you care to turn there, it says here, Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, the laity, the rule of the people, And if we cannot see this, I mean every newspaper, replete with examples of how lawlessness is sweeping the world. Husbands to wives to husbands. People in the nation to the nation. Students to governments on campuses. Every citizen in the community against the police. I mean, the whole world is in lawlessness. And I believe God is wanting to bring us back into the proper understanding of His pyramid government and how serious it is when we have a breach with God's ordained, called government and go out on our own or begin to attack it. And that's why you find Paul saying with such stern words about Hymenaeus and Alexander, "The Lord reward them accordingly for what they've done." Because only God can really understand and make that kind of judgment, not a man. But when God makes that kind of judgment, believe He's judging righteously. And He's judging with all understanding. And my, the severity of that type of thing. Unbelievable. So here we see it says, "These things saith the Amen, the so let it be." Christ is that so let it be. And here He is. It's not just saying amen. He's saying, saith the amen. This is the one that is having the final word. This is the one that is having the final say. This is the one, when all is said, Jesus is going to stand forth one day and say, amen. And it's going to be finished. Just like He did on the cross when He said, it's finished. So that's the picture that you're seeing here. This is the wrap up of the ages for the gospel, for the church. These are the messages to the church. And so appropriately, in this particular passage of Scripture, we see that He's saying the Amen. And it's in the Laodicean church age, not some other one. Properly done in the seventh church age here. Now notice what it says about Christ. The faithful, He is full of faith. And His faith produced works. They weren't just dead works, but His faith produced real works. And He was in real relationship and real submission to His Father. And He was in properly, could properly be in this position of saying, Lord, Lord, or my Father. And Christ was that. And He is also the true witnesses. Now, there are many false witnesses in the world today. Paul warned that in his day, grievous wolves would come in and scatter the flock. And Christ warned in his day against these things. And in Christ's day, we see many liars sent out to try to bring accusations against the Son of God. But in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus is called the true witness. And the beginning of the creation of God. I don't feel it's by accident that that's here in this passage of Scripture at this particular place. He is the second Adam. He is the last Adam. He is the one that God started out in the beginning to create. And so in walking in perfect harmony and in perfect relationship with His Father, He could then say and have recorded in the Scripture here that He is the faithful and the true witness. He was not only at the beginning and saw the fall and saw what happened because of rebellion and disobedience. And that's why this Scripture is so interesting here. It's the rule of the people. It's the rule of the lady. And Jesus is saying and coming and saying, listen, that happened back in the garden. You Laodiceans, don't make the same mistake again. Don't make the same mistake again in disobeying God. You're not rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You're naked, just like Adam in the garden. The same message. Then it goes on down to say, and of course we know that Adam was in the in rebellion, but Christ was not. In verse 21 we see a scripture that says, "And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Here we see a theocracy. Here we see a kingdom. This is a throne. He didn't say you can come and sit with me in one of my specially appointed cabinet positions. He said you can sit with me in my throne. Sit with me in my throne. That shows a kingdom. That shows servants. And to him that overcometh and is in that right relationship, then he can come in and sit upon the throne because he's in the right place and the right relationship with God. And he's not going to be of those that draw back under perdition or have a disposition that's the rule of the laity, the rule of the people. Where they could say, oh yes, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You see this pretty fig leaf I've tied around me here. You know, that's what they did in the garden. And the Lord rebukes them for that. Said, no, you're blind, miserable, wretched, naked, poor. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And put eye salve on that you can see. And get your ears uncorked that you can hear what I'm saying to you. And then he says, even as I also overcame him and sat down with my Father in his throne. Again, showing a relationship. Christ to the Father and us to Christ and in Christ. And so in God's economy, we have a pyramid government. That's why 1 Samuel says 15:23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It is so serious in God's sight that he likens it unto witchcraft. Now, not many of you have been out in witchcraft. But think of those in this church age, the Laodiceans, that are going to go out in this spirit that's behind this thing, the spirit of Laodicea, the spirit of Laodiceans, and we've had some in this church, but thank God, and for any visitors, we've got a marvelous church here. We got a beautiful bunch of people, a beautiful group of born-again, spirit-filled Christians that love God, and probably hardly a congregation in the country that's not is any more submissive to the church pastor and to the eldership here and in right relationship with us and one with the other. But I'm wanting to bring a truth to you, to give you a warning. And that's why these that have gone out from us that have brought railing accusations against the pastor and against the elders, contrary to the word, they have got a spirit upon them that's like no other spirit, I believe. This thing goes right back to Eden, right back to the fall. And it's so overpowering and so gripping that they aren't able to make proper discernment and judgment, even when they know the truth, until they get delivered. And let us not be in that camp. Let us not be of those that are of that number. And let us keep ourselves in that right relationship that God's ordained. Never let us find ourselves sideways to God's church, sideways to his government. Saying like those of the Laodiceans, I am rich and increased with knowledge and understanding. I have no need of thee, pastor. I have no need of the elders. I have no need of thee, saints, to pray for me. Jesus overcame because he had that relationship with his Father and because of the Spirit of God upon him and being in that proper attitude and relationship all the days of his life. And we need to be in that same place. We're not there yet, but we're coming fast. We're making progress toward that end. So I trust that brings some new understanding, a new perspective here. Some of you probably wondered how in the world, particularly when you're sitting here and receiving this teaching and you're in love with the Lord and you're receiving God's promises and blessings, how can some go out of here and even by their own admission say, this is not a traditional church fight. This is not an issue that has to do with doctrine, but we don't like the way they're doing things here. And having been in our classrooms with us and read these passages of Scripture, you've got to see that this spirit that's behind this thing is awesome. And I think it behooves us tonight while we're in and I'm not wanting us to remain in any type of a heaviness here at all by what I'm bringing, just bringing information. But I felt that tonight, maybe with the way the service went and the beautiful worship and praise and all that, that we could take a bit of information here. We could see another aspect, another segment of this thing, what this Laodicean church is all about. It's not those that say, Lord, Lord, but then Jesus reproves them and said, no, you are workers of lawlessness. You're not under God's law. You are not under God's economy of things. Therefore, you're out of harmony. And I am a faithful and true witness from the very beginning, clear back in the beginning. And I've looked all down through time and trust me for what I'm saying. That's what he's saying here. I'm the faithful and true witness. I am the amen, the one that's going to have the final say about all things. And I've overcome. And I'm set down, and him that overcometh will sit down with me in my throne, and you'll have a place there. But it's as we're in this proper relationship to him, as he is the head, and we are the body. We're to move into submission, move under subjection to him, move under those that are put in lawful authority. Of course, we're never giving license to anything that is told for a person for you to do, as you know, that would violate your conscience or violate the word of God in any administrative thing that comes from the church government. You know that. You know how a pastor has been careful in all these areas. But there's a danger out here ahead. And lest we open ourselves up to any spirit that, and I'm saying for particularly the young men that are going out and those are be called in the ministry in the years ahead, that we don't allow anything to build in our heart or anything that would be contrary or contrary wise to the pyramid government that God's ordained. Understanding that even here with this Laodicean church, there is a throne. And that throne demands a king. And in that king, and with that king, there is a kingdom. And within that kingdom, there are a group of people that are serving in the proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. whom they love dearly, and will lay down their lives. And really, as Revelation 12 says, love not their lives unto the death in this last day. Spending ourselves one for the other. Even as the Scriptures admonish us to do for husbands for their wives. Christ laid down His life as we are to do for our wives, according to the book of Ephesians. And so there's this relationship all the way through the Word of God, everywhere. So I trust that that maybe brought a glimmer of understanding in an area, or maybe a new gleaning to you. How many received anything out of what I just brought? I hope you did. Praise the Lord. Would you stand, Brother Stu? Minister to us in song. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You build upon the rock. When the storms blow on this last day, you'll not sink. It'll beat upon your house, but you'll not be shaken. You'll not be like those that say, Lord, Lord, and have that form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You'll have that power, and it'll be anchored deep. Be like those fellas out there on those drilling rigs that way down, they put that steel way down in, fill that thing full of concrete. Boy, that steel's going to go clear down. You're going to hold on when the storms blow. Your house won't be washed away. You preserve yourself and your wife. You won't be like those that says in the fall that took place was great. It was a great fall. We won't be like that. We're founded upon the rock. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray tonight and have all of us join together for any spirit of Laodicea. Any spirit of lawlessness that is in any of us. We've all gone astray. We've not walked right. But God wants to come and drive that thing out. Now let's pray tonight. If there be any here even that have been troubled and plagued by that thing, let's take a stand. You'll say tonight, as of January, what is this, the second? 1983. I took my first stand against lawlessness, if you haven't taken a stand before. I guess this anomia, this lawless thing, that's from the lawless one, that's brought so many into perdition. So many in this last day, hundreds and thousands are going to fall away because they're not anchored upon the rock. And they're not in that right Lord, Lord relationship. I pray to God not one tonight in this building be in that company. Stay in the ark of safety. God has given gifts in His church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are gifts that are given. It says the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles. The foundation is low. It's down below. They're only to serve. It's just an office that they hold. They're ones that are giving, but there is a government that God's ordained. But they're merely servants. And they're gifts. Nothing to be afraid of, right? But Satan would come and put things in people's hearts, like he did with Eve and Adam. Let's pray tonight that God will expose the spirit of Laodicea that remains in any of us, in any area, and overturn every lie of Satan that we might have, as Pastor mentioned this morning, the mind of Christ. And be in that right relationship with Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, right now. Lord, I come on the behalf of this people. And we rebuke the spirit of Laodicea. We rebuke the spirit of lawlessness. We rebuke the lawless one that would come with his lies. And with his deception to bring to naught the work of God. We rebuke the things of Satan in Jesus' name. We take authority over it. We cast you out now, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Spirit of lawlessness, in the name of Jesus, get out. We take authority over you. And Lord, we pray you'll cement the word that went forth tonight, that you'll bring it to the remembrance of those anytime that spirit would rise up. In Jesus' name, bring safety to your people by obedience, which is greater than sacrifice, O God, under the proper authority ordained of God. And it will not be swept aside in this last day into this lawless atmosphere and this lawless economy of things out here. In Jesus' name, we rebuke that. Hallelujah. And we pray, Lord, that you correct everything that's out of attitude, O God. Wrong attitude. Flying wrong. And that means the type of attitude between husband and wife, brother to brother, sister to sister, the church to the Lord Jesus Christ, the eldership to the pastor, the church to the elders. All these areas of relationships, O God, that have to do with government, that have to do with being in right authority. We pray you'll come and give us grace and mercy in this area. Allow us to be conformed to the image of Christ so that we might sit with you one day in your throne, O God, even as you have overcome and sit down with your Father. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to dismiss you at this time unless there's anything else anyone has. I'd like to remind you that camp meeting begins Thursday during the day. If you can pray, I believe there's an announcement in the bulletin today about that time of prayer. Thursday night will be the first official meeting. Then we'll have another meeting Friday evening, two on Saturday and two on Sunday. During the time between the sessions on Saturday, we will have many retreats. There are some bulletins for those of you that may not have picked up one that explains a little more about that. Really excited about what God's going to do during this time. Just trusting that these men are going to come back from their time of waiting on God and the Word and be able to really nourish and feed our souls with some new manna from heaven. Amen. Let's be praying for them through the week. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Incidentally, there's